I was meeting Meredith for a doubles game. Things were still a little strained between us since her confrontation with Amber. I knew Meredith was angry that I had bought Amber's story about being on the run from an abusive father, but once she saw I was immovable, she'd finally let it go. I hated for our friendship to become a casualty of my plan, but for the first time in 10 years, I felt a flicker of hope. I wasn't going to let anything get in my way. I ate a ton of carbs all the next week. Cookies, crackers, chips. Jackson had just left on a business trip, so he wasn't there to stop me. The girls were thrilled to have some junk food in the house. Normally, he inspected the refrigerator and cabinets daily and threw out anything remotely resembling snack food. I had to swear the girls to secrecy and even hide it from Sabine, who'd already gone running to Jackson when I kept Tallulah up late one night watching a movie. But yesterday I'd insisted she take a couple of days off, and her delight outweighed her sense of duty. I wanted to make sure to pack on a few pounds before Saturday, so Jackson would notice how much better Amber looked in her bathing suit than I did in mine. It's amazing how quickly the weight comes back when you're used to eating fewer than 1,200 calories a day. I was on my 14th food journal. Jackson inspected it every day when he got home and kept all the completed ones lined up in his closet, his little keepsakes proving his control over me. Occasionally, I would write down a food that wasn't on the approved list. He was too smart to believe I never cheated on my diet. On those days, he'd sit and watch while he made me run 5 miles on the treadmill in our home gym to make up for it. I hadn't decided yet whether or not I would include some extras on the journal this week or just pretend that perimenopause was to blame for the extra weight. The idea that my fertility was declining would make Amber that much more appealing in comparison. I'd forgotten how good sugar tasted. By Friday, my stomach had a nice little pooch to it, and my whole body was a bit puffy. I put all the wrappers and cartons in a trash bag and drove them to the dump. When he returned Friday night, the kitchen was in tip-top shape again. It was just past 9 when I heard his car in the garage. I grabbed the remote and clicked off the television. I pulled roast duck out of the oven and set a place for him at the island. He walked in the kitchen as I was pouring myself a glass of Pinot Noir.
"Hello, Daphne."
He nodded toward the plate.
"I ate on the plane. You can put that away."
"How was your flight?" He picked up the glass of wine and took a swallow.
"Fine. Uneventful."
His brow creased.
"Before I forget, I looked through the Netflix queue. I see that you watched some low-rate drama. I thought we talked about this."
I'd forgotten to wipe the queue clean. Damn it. "I think it came on automatically after the biography of Lincoln I'd been watching with the girls. I must have left the Netflix on." He leveled a look at me and cleared his throat.
"Be more responsible next time. Don't make me cancel the subscription."
"Of course." He scrutinized my face, put a hand on my cheek, and pressed.
"Are your allergies acting up?"
I shook my head. "I don't think so. Why?"
"You look puffy. You haven't been eating sugar, have you?"
He opened the cabinet containing the trash and looked through it. "No, of course not."
"Get me your diary."
I ran upstairs and retrieved it. When I came back to the kitchen, he was looking through all the cabinets. "Here." He snatched it from my hands, sat down, and went through it, tracing each item with his finger.
"Aha! What's this?"
He pointed to an entry from yesterday. "A baked potato?"
"That turns right into sugar. You know that. If you have to be a pig and eat a potato, make sure it's a sweet potato. At least that has some nutritional value." He looked me up and down. "You make me sick, fat pig."
"Daddy?" Tallulah was standing in the doorway. She looked at me, worry in her eyes.
"Come give Daddy a hug. I was just telling your mommy she has to stop stuffing her face. You don't want a fat mommy, do you?
Mommy's not fat, she said, her voice cracking.
He looked at me and scowled. You stupid sow. Tell your daughter that you need to watch what you eat.
Daddy, stop!
Tallulah was crying now. He threw his hands up in the air.
The two of you! I'm going to my study. Put the crybaby to bed, and then I want to see you in my office.
Then he leaned in and whispered in my ear, If you're so hungry all the time, I'll give you something to suck on. 62. Amber reached for the bottle of tanning lotion and squirted some in her hand. After she applied it to her arms and face, she handed it to me.
Would you do my back?
I took it from her and caught a whiff of coconut as I rubbed my hands together. Want to go sit on the bench in the pool? It was sweltering, and I wanted to cool off.
Sure.
Amber's bikini was practically pornographic. All she had to do was sit the wrong way, and all the goods would be on display. I was glad Tallulah and Bella were out for the day with Suri. It was obvious that she hadn't missed any time at the gym, although with the hours she was putting in working for Jackson, I didn't know how she fitted in. I had purposely worn a one-piece that hugged my body and revealed the little pooch my belly was sporting. Jackson would notice it as soon as he looked at me. We sat side by side on the built-in seat in the shallow end. The water was a perfect 85 degrees and felt wonderful. I looked out at the vast stretch of blue and the beach beyond, relaxing as I took a deep breath of salt air. Jackson came outside for his daily swim.
Hi, girls. I hope you put some sunscreen on. Hottest time of the day.
I smiled. I have, but Amber here is covered in tanning oil. She sat up straighter, sticking out her chest for full effect. I like to tan. That's because you're too young to know the sun gives you wrinkles, I said. Jackson walked to the diving board and surprised me by turning around and executing a perfect back dive into the pool. Was he showing off? When he broke the water's surface, Amber clapped.
Bravo! Well done!
He swam to the side of the pool, pushed himself up and out, and gave a little bow.
It was nothing.
Come join us for a minute, I said. He grabbed a towel from the outdoor armoire behind the bar and sat on one of the cushioned seats across from us.
I've got a little work to do before the party.
Anything I can help with? Amber asked. Jackson smiled.
No, no, it's your day off. Don't be silly. Besides, Daphne would kill me if I put you to work.
That's right. You're a guest today. I'm really hot, just going to get all the way wet. She pushed off the bench and slipped underwater. My eyes were on Jackson, who was watching Amber as she swam to the steps and climbed out, giving him a front row seat to her wet body and see-through suit.
That felt great, she said, looking straight at him. She was getting quite brazen.
Well, I've got to get to it, Jackson said as he walked back to the house.
Amber came back to where I was and took a seat once again.
Thanks again for inviting me over today. This is such a treat.
Did she think I was an idiot?
What time is everyone coming again?
Around 6. We can relax for a couple of hours and then go shower and change. I've asked Angela to come by at 3 to do our hair. I had more planned for the afternoon, intending to let her see every little benefit Jackson's money provided.
How wonderful. Does she always do your hair?
Only when we entertain or I'm going somewhere special. We have her on retainer, so she pretty much drops whatever else she has if I need her. What I now recognized as a look of resentment flashed in her eyes, but she quickly recovered.
Wow.
Of course, I try to give her notice. Don't want to intentionally mess up someone else's plans.
Is it fancy tonight?
I stretched my legs out in front of me.
Not really. three other couples from the club, and Greg, the guy I want you to meet.
Tell me more about him.
He's in his late 20s, reddish-blonde hair, blue eyes.
Your typical good-looking preppy, I laughed.
What does he do?
His father owns Carvington Accounting. He works in the family business. They have gobs of money.
Now I had her attention.
I'm not sure he'll be interested in me. He's probably used to debutantes and girls from important families.
This pitiful act was beginning to tire me. I looked up to see the two masseuses walk out to the tile patio.
I have a surprise for you.
What?
We're each getting a nice long massage.
Don't tell me they're on retainer, too, Amber asked.
No, they're part-time. Jackson and I couldn't survive without at least two massages a week.
It wasn't true, but I wanted her green with envy.
The afternoon passed in a pleasant haze. After the hour-long massage, I soaked in the tub while Amber's hair was done. Then she sat and talked to me while Angela did mine. By 3:30, we had drinks in hand and sat in the sunroom overlooking the Sound. In a few hours, phase two of my plan would begin. By 6 o'clock, we were having drinks on the veranda, and Greg, as I had anticipated, was falling all over Amber. I couldn't help but compare the girl who had come to that first committee meeting with the poised and self-assured young woman standing there. No one meeting her for the first time would have a clue that she was out of place. Everything about her telegraphed money and refinement. Even her dress, a Marc Jacobs shift, was worlds away from the L.L. Bean separates she used to wear. I walked over to her and Greg.
I see you've met our Amber.
He gave me a broad smile.
Where have you been hiding her? I haven't seen her at the club.
He gave her a knowing look.
I would have remembered.
I don't belong, she said.
Then you'll just have to come as my guest.
He looked at her empty glass. Can I get you a refill? She put a hand on his arm.
Thank you, Greg. You're such a gentleman. I'll walk over with you.
Greg's hand rested on the small of her back as they made their way to the bar, and I looked up to see that Jackson was watching them. There was a proprietary look in his eyes, one that said, "You're pissing on my lawn." It was working. I walked over to him.
Looks like Amber and Greg are clicking.
I could see that she was playing him, but all Jackson could see were the pheromones jumping off Greg.
She can do better than that idiot.
He's not an idiot. He's a nice young man. He hasn't taken his eyes off her all night.
Jackson drank the rest of his bourbon in one swallow.
He's as dull as a stone.
By the time we were seated for dinner, Greg was thoroughly infatuated. Amber already had him wrapped around her finger. All she had to do was look thirsty, and he was waving the server over to get her another drink. The other women didn't miss it either. Jenka, a brunette beauty married to one of Jackson's golf buddies, leaned over to me and whispered,
"Doesn't it make you nervous? A girl like that right outside his office every day? I know he loves you, but he is a man, after all."
I laughed. "I trust Jackson implicitly, and Amber's a good friend." She looked dubious.
"If you say so, there's no way I'd let Warren hire somebody who looked like that to be his assistant."
"You're too suspicious, darling. I have nothing to worry about." Greg was the last to leave. He gave Amber a chaste kiss on her cheek.
"See you Sunday. Pick you up at noon."
When he'd gone, I turned to her.
"Sunday?"
"He's invited me to have lunch with him at the club and then see Cat on a Hot Tin Roof at the Playhouse."
"How lovely. Well, I'm exhausted. Shall we go to bed?" She nodded. I gave her the guest room across the hall from us. I wanted Jackson to know she was close by. He was in bed when I came into the bedroom.
"Nice evening, right?" I said.
"Except for that moron, Greg. I don't know why you invited him in the first place," Jackson grumbled.
It would have been awkward for Amber not to have a companion. He's nice enough. Just drinks a little too much.
A little too much? The guy's a drunk. I detest people who can't control themselves.
I slid under the covers. Amber has a date with him on Sunday.
She's too smart for him.
Well, she seems to like him.
Good. He was jealous.
If he didn't have a rich father, he'd be living in a studio apartment over someone's garage.
Jackson, I need to ask you something. He sat up and turned the light back on.
What?
You know how much I miss Julie. Amber's the closest thing to a sister I'll ever have. Your interest in her seems more than just professional.
His voice rose. Now, just a minute. Since when have I ever given you a reason to be jealous?
I put a gentle hand on his arm. Don't be mad. I'm not accusing you of anything. But I see how she looks at you. She adores you. And who can blame her?
Did I sound convincing?
I just don't want anything to happen between you. Anyone can slip. Amber is my only true friend. If you should find yourself attracted to her, please don't give in to it. That's all I'm saying.
Don't be ridiculous. I'm not interested in other women.
But I knew that look, the determination in his eyes. No one told Jackson Parrish what he could and couldn't have. 63.
Duplicity suited me. All the years of living with Jackson had taught me a thing or two. It was hard at times, knowing that Amber believed herself so clever and me so stupid, but it would be worth it in the end. It had been torturous that weekend she was at the lake house with the girls and me. I hated going to that house, period. My mother was really only an hour away, and he wouldn't let me invite her. He chose it specifically for that purpose, to make my mother believe that I was so self-absorbed that I didn't think to include her. And she had too much pride to ever ask to come. But inviting Amber to the lake had been necessary for moving my plan along. That was the weekend I gave her the vital tidbit that I hoped she would pounce upon, the fact that Jackson desperately wanted a son, and I couldn't give him one. I also gave her a key to the New York apartment, knowing it wouldn't be long before she found an excuse to use it. When I got her text Friday morning asking if it was okay to use the New York apartment for the weekend, I came up with a plan. Jackson had been working from the lake house all week, making life miserable for the girls and me. He didn't believe in letting schedules slide, even on vacation. When he wasn't there, we'd lounge by the lake all day, eat when we wanted, stay up late and watch movies. But when he was around, it was lunch at noon, dinner at 7, girls in bed by 8. No junk food, only organic and healthy. I'd have to hide the books on my nightstand and replace them with his selection of the week. That week, though, I did little things to irritate him. I came in from swimming with smeared makeup under my eyes, left my hair a mess, left crumbs on the counter. By Friday, I could tell he was reaching the breaking point. We'd just finished lunch, and I made sure that a piece of spinach was lodged between my front teeth. He looked at me with disgust. You're a pig. You have a big green thing in your teeth. I pulled my lips back and leaned close to him.
Where?
Ugh, go look in a mirror.
He shook his head. As I got up, I purposely bumped my hip into the table, and my plate went clanging to the floor.
Look where you're going!
His eyes traveled up and down my body.
Have you put on weight?
I had. Actually, 10 pounds.
I shrugged.
I don't know. There's no scale here.
I'll bring one next week. For the love of... What the hell do you do when I'm not here? Stuff yourself with junk?
I picked up the plate and walked to the sink, deliberately leaving a piece of cucumber on the floor.
Daphne!
He pointed. Oops, sorry.
I ran the dish under the water and put it in the dishwasher, facing the wrong way.
Oh, Jackson, the Lanes are coming over for dinner tonight.
I knew that would be the final straw. Our neighbors at the lake lived in Woodstock the rest of the year, and their politics were to the left of Mark's. Jackson couldn't bear to be in the same room as them.
Are you serious?
He came up behind me, grabbed my shoulders, and turned me around. His face was inches from mine.
I've been very patient with you this week, put up with your slovenly appearance, your ineptitude around the house. This is too much.
I looked at the floor. Stupid me, I thought this was a week you'd be away. I got the dates confused. I'm so sorry.
He sighed loudly. In that case, it will be. I'm heading home today.
I've arranged to have all the carpets cleaned over the weekend. You really shouldn't be there with all the chemicals.
Shit. I'll go to the apartment then. I should go into the office anyhow. Thanks for screwing everything up once again.
He stormed off to the bedroom to pack. I would text Amber in the morning with the text I'd meant to send today, informing her that Jackson was coming to the apartment and she couldn't use it after all. I'd tell her that I'd forgotten to hit send and hoped that she hadn't been startled when Jackson showed up. Walking into the bedroom, I tossed Ulysses to the floor and replaced it with the latest Jack Reacher. I stretched out on the bed and took a deep breath. We'd have pizza for dinner. The Lanes were enjoying the concert they were attending. They'd told me about it when they were over for dinner the week before. Hours later, my phone rang.
What the hell are you up to?
Jackson said.
What do you mean?
Amber's here. What kind of game are you playing, Daphne?
I feigned surprise.
I texted her and told her you were using the apartment. Wait, let me look at my phone.
I waited a few seconds.
I'm such an idiot. I never hit send. I'm so sorry.
He cursed. You are intent on ruining my weekend. I just want some peace and quiet. I don't feel like making small talk with the help.
Tell her to leave, then. Do you want me to call her?
He sighed.
No, I'll handle it. Thanks for nothing.
I hit send and typed another message to Amber.
Sorry. Meant to let you know Jackson was headed to the apartment. May want to stay out of his way. He's not in the best mood, thanks to me.
That should be enough to have her lending him a sympathetic ear. After that, it would just be a hop, skip, and a jump before they were in bed together. 64.
He's got it bad. Amber must be really good. Most nights, he claimed to be working too late to come all the way home, so he'd decided to stay at the apartment.
Just to test my theory after the third night in a row, I offered to come in and keep him company, but he demurred, saying he would be at the office until all hours. It was also apparent in Amber's demeanor. She thought she was so clever and that I couldn't tell, but I noticed the looks that passed between the two of them when she was at the house, and the way she was beginning to finish his sentences. During our trip to London, her perfume lingered on his clothes and in his hair every time he came back from a meeting. Apparently, the infidelity turned him on, because he wanted sex even more than usual. I never knew when he would grab me. The sex was different, too. Faster and rougher, like a dog staking his claim. I pretended to Amber that he hadn't touched me in weeks. I needed her to believe he had eyes only for her, except for the one time I let my pride get the better of me and told her that we'd just slept together. The look of shock and anger on her face was delicious. I was worried, though, that it might be only a matter of time before he would tire of her and return to me, more obsessed than ever. My only hope was for Amber to elicit in him the same feelings I had evoked when we first met.
He had to become focused on possessing her. She was already doing her part, trying to make herself into a younger version of me. I'd noticed her copying my perfume, wearing her hair the same as mine. She'd even copied my lipstick color. And I continued to feed her the ammunition. But would it be enough? What was taking her so long to get pregnant? Of course, unless it was a boy, it would do no good. We'd been down that road before. He had no use for another daughter. I made myself look even more pitiful to him. I wanted him to see Amber as my perfect replacement. I wore long underwear under my clothes so I would sweat and blamed it on hot flashes. I started dropping hints that I was going through early menopause so he would know that if he stayed with me, his dream of a son would go unfulfilled. I was placing all my hope on her getting pregnant with a boy. But if that didn't work, I was hoping she was clever enough to find another way to hook him. The night he came back from Paris, he was in a good mood. She had told me she was taking a few days off to go visit a friend so I wouldn't be suspicious. But I'd known she was with him, had seen the lingerie he tucked into his suitcase at the last minute. I was almost asleep when he walked into the bedroom and turned on a bedside lamp.
You weren't sleeping, were you?
He came around to my side of the bed and stood looking down at me. I was.
I'm hurt. I thought you'd be waiting up for me. You know how I miss you when I'm gone.
My eye started twitching. I gave him a tight smile. Of course I missed you, but I thought you'd be tired anyway. A slow smile spread across his face.
Never too tired for you. I brought you a present.
I sat up and waited. It was the red and black corset I'd seen in his suitcase. I took it from him, and the smell of incomparable wafted over me. The sick bastard wanted me to wear this after she had.
Here are the stockings that go with it. Get up and put them on.
Why don't you let me pick something out and surprise you? I didn't want them touching my skin after they'd been on her body.
He threw the corset at me. Now.
He grabbed my hand and pulled me from the bed.
Arms.
I lifted my arms and he pulled off my nightgown so that I was standing there in only my panties.
You're getting fat.
He pinched the flesh on my waist and made a face.
I'm going to have to buy you a girdle soon. Don't make any plans for the rest of the week. You'll be spending it with the trainer every day. We have dinner at the club on Thursday, and I've bought you a new dress. It had better fit.
He shook his head.
Lazy bitch. Now put on the outfit your nice husband went to all the trouble of buying for you.
I pulled the stiff fabric up over my hips and stomach. It was tight, but I managed to make it fit. My face was hot with shame, and I had to look up at the ceiling to keep from crying. When I had fastened the stockings, he made me do a pirouette for him. He shook his head.
Looks like shit on you.
He pushed me down.
All fours.
I fell to the floor, the hard wood sending waves of pain through my knees. Before I could brace myself, I heard his pants unzip and felt him behind me. He was rough, and I felt like I was being torn in two. When he finally finished, he stood up and looked down at me.
Still the best around, Daff.
I felt my body go weak as I slumped to the floor in anguish. Had all of this been for nothing? Was he already tired of Amber? Now that I had allowed myself to envision a life away from him, there was no way I was giving up. One way or another, I would be free. 65. She must have given him an ultimatum. I heard him whispering on the phone in the bathroom last night, telling her he needed more time. She'd better play her cards right, I thought, or it could all blow up. Jackson was not a man to be threatened.
I'd seen her the day before when I stopped by the office, and I could tell. She was definitely pregnant, at least 3 months along. I wondered if it was a boy or a girl. I don't think I've ever prayed so hard for anything in my life since Julie died. All of us walked on eggshells all through dinner. I could hear his phone pinging with texts from the dining room. At one point, he got up, threw his napkin on the chair, and stormed from the room. Minutes later, he was back, and I didn't hear any more texts coming in. After I put the girls to bed, we watched a documentary on penguins. Finally, around 10, he looked at me. "Let's turn in." To my relief, he washed up, got into bed, and fell asleep. I lay there in the dark, wondering what was going on between them. I had started my period last night and had just gotten up to take something for my dull headache, then got back into bed and fell asleep. I thought I was dreaming. Something bright was hurting my eyes, and I tried to turn but found myself immobilized. My eyes flew open. He was straddling me, shining a flashlight at them.
"Jackson, what are you doing?"
"Are you sad, Daphne?"
I shielded my eyes from the light and turned my head to the side.
"What?"
He pushed my cheek so that I was looking into the light again.
"Are you sad that you got your period? Another month and no baby."
What was he talking about? Could he have somehow found out about the IUD?
"Jackson, please, that hurts."
He turned the light off, and I felt the cold steel of the gun against my neck. He clicked the flashlight on again, then off. On and off, while the hand holding the gun pressed against my neck.
"Are you laughing behind my back every month, knowing how much I want a son?"
"Of course not. I would never laugh at you."
The words came out in a whisper. He slid the gun from my neck up to my face and positioned it over one eye.
"It would be hard to cry without an eye."
"He's going to kill me this time." Then he moved it to my mouth and ran it around my lips.
"It would be hard to talk about me without a mouth."
"Jackson, please, think of the children."
"I am thinking of the children, the ones I don't have, the son I don't have because you're a withered-up old prune. But don't worry, I have a solution."
He moved the gun to my stomach and drew a figure eight.
"It's okay, Daphne, if you're too used up to carry a baby in here. I've decided we can adopt."
"What are you talking about?" I was too afraid to move, worried the gun would go off.
"I know someone who's going to have a baby, and she doesn't want it. We could take it."
My whole body tensed. "Well, why would we want to adopt someone else's baby?" I heard him cock the gun. He leaned over and turned the lamp on so that I could see. He smiled at me.
"There's only one bullet. Let's see what happens. If I pull the trigger and you live, we'll adopt. If you die, we won't. Sound fair?"
"Please."
I watched in terror as his finger moved back and held my breath until I heard the click. The breath whooshed out of me, and a cry escaped my lips.
"Good news. We're going to have a son."
Part 3. 66. Amber left the apartment on East 62nd Street, carrying a small suitcase, her credit card, and a wad of money. Jackson had called earlier to let her know he'd be there by 9 in the evening, and she was going to make sure he walked into an empty apartment. She was tired of this waiting game. One day he was going to tell Daphne, and the next day he had an excuse for why he couldn't. She wasn't going to take it any longer. This was showdown time. She'd booked a room at a small hotel under a different name. The note she left said simply, "I'm afraid you don't love me or our son. I don't think you have any intention of leaving Daphne to marry me. If you don't want this child, I will see that he doesn't come into this world. With great sorrow, Amber." At 9:10, her cell phone began ringing. She ignored it. In a few minutes, it rang again, and once more she refused to answer. This continued for 20 minutes, and then he left a message.
"Amber, please, don't do anything foolish. I love you. Please call me."
Amber heard the pleading and panic in his voice, smiled, and turned off her ringer. Let him call all night and wonder where she was and what she'd done. She turned on the TV and laid down on the bed. This would be a long, boring night, but the time had come for a drastic move on her part. "I'm not going to be the Patsy again," she thought, and fell into a fitful sleep. She'd gotten up several times through the night to go to the bathroom, and each time she checked her phone. Call after call from Jackson, and messages and texts that alternated between begging and fury. The last time she got up was 4 a.m, and finally she slept uninterrupted until 8:00. She got up and called room service. Decaffeinated tea and yogurt were delivered 20 minutes later, along with the morning paper. She scanned the pages with little interest, and then she waited, and waited, and waited. At 2:00 p.m, she punched in Jackson's number. He answered before the first ring was complete.
"Amber, where are you? I've been trying to reach you since last night."
She whispered into the phone with a quivery voice.
"I'm sorry, Jackson. I love you, but you forced me."
She let out a quiet sob to emphasize her pitifulness.
"What are you talking about? What have you done?"
"I have an appointment in an hour, Jackson. I'm sorry. I love you."
And she hung up. Let him stew with that for a while, she thought. Her phone rang again, and this time she picked it up on the 5th ring.
"What?"
she said.
"Amber, listen to me. Don't do this. I love you. I love our son. I want to marry you. I will marry you. I'll tell Daphne tonight. Please, believe me."
"I don't know what to believe anymore, Jackson."
She made her voice sound weak and tired.
"Amber, you can't go through with this. You're carrying my son. I won't lose my son."
He sounded furious.
"You forced me to do it, Jackson. It's your fault."
She heard him sigh, and then his tone changed.
"No, no. I know I've been dragging my feet, but it's all for us. I was waiting for the right time."
"That's just it. It seems like the right time is never going to come. I can't wait forever, Jackson. And neither can this appointment."
"You would actually kill our child. I can't believe that. Our beautiful little boy."
"I can't have this baby by myself and unmarried. Maybe you think it's all right, but I wasn't raised that way."
"I promise you we'll be married before he's born. I promise. But come back to me, Amber. Where are you? I'll come get you now."
"I don't know."
Jackson cut her off.
"We'll go back to my apartment. You can stay there. Forever. Please."
Her lips curled into a cat-like smile. Jackson was there within the hour. She got into the back of the limo and gave him what she hoped was a pitiful look. His lips were white, and his face was set in a scowl.
"Don't you ever do that to me again."
"Jackson, I..."
He grabbed her hand and squeezed it tight.
How could you threaten to kill our child, to hold him hostage?
You're hurting me.
He dropped her hand.
I don't know what I would do if something happened to my son, or to you.
There was something in his manner and voice that unnerved her, but she shrugged it off. Of course he was angry, worried. He wasn't acting like himself.
I won't, Jackson. I promise.
Good.
They went back to the apartment, and she coaxed him into bed. They stayed there until dark, Amber begging him for forgiveness, while trying to ensure that their plans were still on track.
Are you hungry? She asked him.
Starving. How about an omelet?
Jackson said, throwing the covers back and bouncing out of bed. Amber followed him to the kitchen, and he began to crack eggs into a bowl. Now is the time to get down to it, she thought, before he changes his mind.
I've been thinking, Jackson. You're not going to move out of the house, are you? It was yours before you married her.
Amber had wanted that house from the first day she saw it. She wanted to be the mistress of the house, have Bella and Tallulah have to listen to her. They would be guests in her house now, and Bella would feel the sting of her hand if she continued with her shenanigans. The first thing she was going to do would be to have a portrait of herself done, one of those full nudes while she was pregnant. She'd hang it in a place where they'd have to see it every time they came to visit. She'd make it so miserable for them that they wouldn't want to come for weekends, and she'd make sure that Jackson didn't care either. In time, she would make him see that they were little bloodsuckers, just like their mother.
I can't very well kick her out when I'm the one leaving the marriage, he said, flipping the eggs over.
I suppose you're right, but she hates that house. She's told me how pretentious she thinks it is. I really don't think she deserves it. She'll probably move her mother in with them. Do you really want that beautiful house to belong to her? Will she even keep it up?
She could see his wheels turning.
Well, I did have it long before I met her. Let me see what I can do. Maybe I can persuade her to let me have it.
Oh, Jackson, that would be wonderful. I love that house. We're going to be so happy there.
The only thing that would make her happier than moving in and staking her claim would be if Daphne had to move into Amber's one-room hovel. She knew she was being a bitch, but she didn't care. Daphne had been spoiled for far too long. It would do her good to see how it felt to have the designer's shoe on the other foot. She might have pretended to be Amber's friend, but Amber knew that, deep down, Daphne still considered her the help, reaching down like Lady Bountiful to help poor, pathetic Amber. It infuriated her to realize that Daphne had never considered her a threat. Daphne thought she was so much more beautiful than Amber, was so secure in Jackson's love for her. Well, guess what, Daphne? He loves me now. He belongs to me now. And I'm giving him a brand new family. You and your brats are obsolete.
67. It was finally happening. Jackson had called her that morning and asked her to come to the New York apartment to discuss something serious. Daphne didn't need to wonder what it was about, because, thanks to a lesson with Private Eye Jerry Hansen, she'd learned how to clone a cell phone. She'd been privy to texts between Amber and Jackson for the past month. She had to give it to Amber. That disappearing stunt of hers was a stroke of genius. Jackson would do just about anything to ensure he didn't lose the son he'd been waiting to have for so long. She arrived at 5 o'clock, and when she walked into the apartment, she could smell Amber's perfume. The two of them were sitting on the sofa. She pretended to be shocked. What's going on?
Sit down, Daphne,
Jackson answered. Amber said nothing, merely sat there with a tight smile and a malicious look in her eyes.
We need to talk to you.
Daphne continued to stand and looked at Amber. We? Amber looked down at her hands, but her lips were still curled in a smile.
Whatever is going on, just tell me.
Jackson leaned back and stared at her a long moment.
I think it's pretty clear that we've been unhappy lately.
Unhappy lately? Daphne wanted to say. When have we ever been happy?
What are you talking about?
He stood up and started pacing and then turned to look at her.
I'm divorcing you, Daphne. Amber is pregnant with my son.
For their benefit, Daphne feigned shock and sank into the chair.
Pregnant? You're sleeping with her?
What did you expect?
His eyes traveled up and down her body.
You've let yourself go. Fat, slovenly, and lazy. No wonder you couldn't produce a son for me. You treat your body like shit.
It took everything she had not to tell them how stupid they both were. Instead, she pasted on a sad expression and looked at Amber.
How long have you been sleeping with my husband?
I didn't mean for it to happen. We fell in love.
At this, she looked at Jackson, and he took her hand in his.
Really?
Daphne's voice rose.
Then how long have you been in love?
I'm sorry, Daphne. I never meant to hurt you. Her eyes told a different story. It was obvious that she was relishing every moment.
I trusted you, treated you like a sister, and this is how you repay me?
She sighed. We couldn't help ourselves. We're soulmates. Daphne almost started laughing, and a sound escaped that she hoped they mistook for a sob.
I'm really sorry, Daphne, she repeated. Sometimes these things just happen.
She put a hand on her belly and rubbed.
Our children will be related, so I hope in time you'll come to forgive me.
Daphne's mouth dropped open.
Seriously? Are you
Enough, Jackson interrupted. We want to get married, and I want to do it before my son is born. I'll make it worth your while to give me a quick divorce.
Daphne stood.
I have a lot to think about. When I'm ready to discuss it, I'll let you know. And I don't want her there.
As soon as she walked out of the apartment and out of their line of sight, she broke into a smile of her own. It was already worth her while, but she wouldn't tell him that. How can you put a price on your freedom? But she'd take the money for her children's sake. Why should Amber have it all? No, she'd make sure that the settlement was generous, and then she'd grant him his quick divorce.
68. Amber closed her eyes as the manicurist massaged her hands with creamy lotion. She'd told the girl that she was getting married, and immediately she'd gushingly suggested a French manicure. How completely tacky. She opened her eyes and looked at her left hand. It was the first time she'd taken the Graff diamond, 1 carat larger than Daphne's, off her finger. She smiled and watched as the polish went on, and then suddenly pulled her hand away.
I don't like that color. Take it off and let me see what else you have, she demanded. The young woman obediently gathered more bottles and set them before Amber. She took her time looking them over, and finally chose a champagne nude.
This one.
She pointed to the bottle and sat back in the leather chair. She'd had the works today. Massage, facial, pedicure. Tomorrow she would look beautiful, and all her dreams would become a reality as she stood before a clerk of the court and became Mrs. Jackson Parrish. Jackson's divorce had become final just in time. The baby was due any day, and she wanted to be Jackson's wife when he was born. Jackson had been in a state of ecstasy about the coming birth of his son, and he wanted a huge wedding to introduce his pregnant new wife to all of his friends.
"We'll have it at the house and invite everyone. It'll be huge, at least 300 people. I want them all to meet my gorgeous wife. We'll announce the impending arrival of our amazing son," he'd said.
"Jackson, really? Everyone knows about the baby. The divorce, the pregnancy, our engagement. It's all been the choicest gossip for the last 6 months. Besides, I want something small and intimate, just the two of us." There was no way she was going to have all the snobs in Bishop's Harbor looking at her fat and pregnant, talking behind her back at her wedding, and reporting back to Daphne. "We can have a big party later, after the baby's born." She laughed and gave him a peck on the cheek. "Besides, then I won't have this enormous belly and can wear something beautiful. Please?" She wanted to make sure that the first time she appeared in print as Jackson's wife, she looked the part. She wasn't worried any longer about being recognized. No one from her podunk town would make the connection. They would never in a million years imagine that Lana Crump had become the fabulous Amber Parrish. And besides, if anyone came nosing around, she'd have plenty of money to make any pesky problem disappear. He had pursed his lips and nodded.
"Okay, we'll do it later. But what about Tallulah and Bella? They should be there."
She wasn't about to let an angry and morose Tallulah and a spoiled Bella take center stage at her wedding. They would ruin everything. Better that they hear about it after the fact, when it was too late for any tears and tantrums that might discourage their father. "Yes, you're right. I wonder, though, do you think it will upset them to see me pregnant? I don't want them to be sad that it's not their mother who's having the baby. I would hate for them to be hurt or feel they're being replaced. Maybe it'll be easier once he's born. He'll be their brother, and it won't really matter who their mother is. Let them wait for the big celebration afterward. I think that will be much easier for them."
"I don't know. It might not look right if they're not there," he'd said.
"They'll have much more fun at the party we throw later."
"I guess you're right.
I just want them to like me, accept me as their stepmother. I've even discussed it with the pediatrician. She thought it might be too much for them, but said to run it by you." Amber had made up the pediatrician part, but her eyes were wide with a look of innocence.
"You have a point. I suppose it's not really necessary. After all, none of our other family will be there."
Amber had smiled at him and taken his hand. "We'll be one big, happy family. You'll see. I'm sure they'll love their little brother."
"I can't wait to meet this little guy."
"Soon," she'd said. "But in the meantime, how would my handsome husband-to-be like a little gratification?" Amber reached over and unbuckled his belt.
"You turn me on like no one else," he said and slumped back in his chair.
As she got on her knees, she reminded herself that once she was Mrs. Parrish, she wouldn't have to pretend to enjoy this anymore. Amber rose early the next morning. She had told Jackson that it was bad luck for the bride and groom to see each other the night before they got married, so he'd taken a hotel room at the Plaza while she stayed at the apartment. She didn't give a crap about those silly superstitions, but she wanted the morning to herself. There were calls she wanted to make, and she didn't want Jackson around to hear them. She had a light breakfast of yogurt and fruit and checked her emails. There were three from Jackson's new administrative assistant. Amber had taken her time and chosen very carefully from a slew of applicants. She thought her selection perfect. Young, attractive, smart, technologically up-to-date, outside-the-box thinker, and best of all, male. Of course, the checkbook would be coming home, too. Only Amber would see what was spent in their household. She would never make the stupid mistakes that Daphne had. After a luxurious bath, she dried herself off, spread some exorbitantly expensive body cream all over, and turned sideways to see her belly in the mirror. The huge ball disgusted her. She couldn't wait for this kid to be born and to get her figure back. She shook her head and, looking away, grabbed one of the terry cloth robes. She'd gotten one for each of them, monogrammed and plush and expensive. She laughed to herself. Whenever she bought something, she went to the internet and typed in most expensive whatever it was. She was a quick learner. Amber and Jackson were meeting at City Hall at 1 o'clock, so she still had plenty of time to get dressed and call for the limo. She reclined on the velvet chaise longue in the bedroom and punched in the telephone number on her mobile. Hello? It was Daphne. I want to speak to the girls. I'm not sure they wish to speak with you. Daphne's words were clipped and chilly. Listen, you can stand in my way all you want, but it behooves you to cooperate with me, or your little brats will be out of the picture faster than you can say divorce agreement. Amber heard nothing for a moment, and then the sound of Tallulah's voice came on. Hello? Tallulah, sweetheart, where's your sister? Can you put her on the extension? Hold on, Amber. Tallulah yelled for Bella to pick up the phone and waited a few minutes. Bella, are you on the phone?
Yes.
Tallulah, are you still there? Amber asked.
Yes, Amber. I want to tell you both that I'm very sad you won't be at the wedding today. I told your father I wanted it to be only family and not a big party. I just wanted the two of you and no one else. But your father thought you were too young to be there.
Amber made a sniffling sound as if she were crying.
You have to understand that your father is very excited to be having a baby boy, so sometimes he forgets about you two. I want us to be very good friends, and I will make sure that you're part of our new family. Do you understand?
Yes, Tallulah said flatly. Bella, what about you? Amber pressed.
My daddy loves me. He won't forget me.
Amber could picture Bella stamping her imperious little foot.
Of course you're right, Bella. I wouldn't worry if I were you. By the way, did I tell you that the new baby will have your father's name? Jackson Mark Parrish, Jr.? I hate you, Bella said and clicked off. I'm sorry, Amber. You know how Bella gets, Tallulah said. I know, Tallulah. But I'm sure you'll be able to talk some sense into her, right? I'll try, she said. Talk to you later. Bye, sweetheart. The next time we talk, I'll be your stepmother.
Amber hung up, satisfied that she had gotten her message across. Tallulah was a peacekeeper and would present no problems. Some sparkly jewelry and new toys would be enough to eventually bring Bella around. Not that Amber intended for them to be at the house often enough for it to matter. She pulled her computer next to her and answered the emails that needed attention, then rose to dress. There wasn't much she could do to look sexy and desirable for Jackson, but apparently the baby belly was enough to induce his euphoria anyway. She squeezed herself into a cream-colored dress and put on the new Ella Gafter pearls Jackson had bought her as a wedding present. She wore no other jewelry except her emerald-cut diamond ring. When she arrived, Jackson and Douglas, his new assistant, stood waiting for her in front of the building.
"You look absolutely beautiful," Jackson said, taking her hand.
"I look like a beached whale."
"You are an image of loveliness. I don't want to hear another word."
Amber shook her head and turned to Douglas.
Thank you for agreeing to be our witness today.
My pleasure. Jackson put his arm around her, and the three